led by the Lord through the wilderness or on the wilderness way. It's a beautiful thought that is coming from this text. It's Exodus 13, 17 through 22. Now, before we look at that, I want to share with you about verse 16 in the same chapter. Something that occurred to me while looking more carefully to the verse than usually. And I see something here. And I hope I'm not reading it into the text. I hope it's the right thing to say. I ask the Lord's forgiveness if I'm wrong. When the Lord gave the regulations about the consecration of the firstborn, the feast of unleavened bread, and the law of the firstborn, these things had to be established as an ongoing ordinance from the Lord, as a remembrance for them, the remembrance of the great event of their salvation, of their liberation from slavery. Let me read the verse. It shall be as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. What I see here is the Lord stretching his mighty arm to these people and wanting to capture their heart, their mind, and their strength, everything that is in them. I see in this like not a preview, but the seeds of the first commandment, of the oncoming law that God will give to these people. This is a band of people taken out of slavery who didn't know very much about the Lord. They just went through a short period of a few object lessons, like an intensive, a crash course, to learn what the mighty hand of God can do. But all they knew were miracles. So God did not want to bring up a nation that will always rely on some nanny God, who will always be there to make miracles whenever we need it. He wanted, actually, a people that will be wholly His, with body and soul, so to speak. And He wants them this, so a sign on your hand. Hand in the Old Testament is always strength. As a sign on your hand, so you remember that it's not by your right hand that you have done this, but by God's right hand. So this is both mind and strength here. And as frontlets between your eyes. He didn't say that they will have to go, and I'm sure I said this last week, that God, or the week before, what was it, last week? That when God wanted them to wear, I don't know what signs on their right hand, or to wear those things that some do even today. But God said, when you meet together, when you do these things, that's what they should represent for you. The arm of God and the fact that you will always remember. Between the eyes is the center of the mind, they think. It's pointing here. So we are all captivated by the Lord. This is like a short devotional that I'm having on this verse. Before I go into having a short look to the verses that we have for this evening. So the Lord wants us to serve Him with everything, not just in part. And in Deuteronomy 6, after the reiteration of the Ten Commandments in chapter 5, then in chapter 6, verse 5, Moses sums up, actually, in one sentence, the first commandment, which is a very long commandment actually, in the law. But here Moses says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." With heart, soul, mind, and strength. With everything. So that's that was my meditation on that verse. But now they go on the wilderness way. And it's an interesting thing because when you think about wilderness, it can mean two things. So the people often may be tempted, so am I, tempted to think when you say the wilderness, all it is the desert. But wilderness also is an uninhabited place where you may find animals, a place with harsh climate, wilderness, like we would say. That's what it is. Eremos in the Greek and Araba in the Hebrew, they both carry the same meaning. So not all wilderness is sandy desert, because they had places there, oases with water sometimes, and they had fields for their flocks, and there was, but there, that was really not so densely populated kind of agricultural area, not the usual thing that we have right here. And God does not take them to some bad place. But what we learn, let's go verse to verse and we see. It came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. What it says here is that would have been more direct. If you look at a map, I wanted to produce one, but I'm not so good at bringing those things. To put a map for us to see. But the way of the Philistines was actually a commercial route that would follow the shore of the Mediterranean. And it will be almost like a straight cut to the corner of the Mediterranean, then go up. That was the road of the kings, actually. And that's how commerce was being carried between Egypt and the Middle East. So God doesn't take them there. And God had a reason. For God said, so this is the motivation from God, the motive, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So here we are being presented with a God who thinks about the people, a God who is conscious or knowing, aware of the situation of the human mind and heart. That if the people would be confronted with war from the very beginning, that they would change their minds. They may be tempted to go back. And he was right about that, because in the future it happens very often that the people of Israel want to go back because they've had enough of that journey. But here, God actually is giving to us for today, too, a picture of himself. All you have to do is read Psalm 103, and I will just read one verse from this psalm. Verse 14, Psalm 103, verse 14. I don't know why the people don't sing the whole song when the whole song, psalm when they sing, they only sing the beginning. I never heard this song entirely. Let me read from verse 11 to 14. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy to those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As the father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. And this is now the verse we're after. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. So, although in choosing to go a different way than the straightforward way, and although the way God chooses is a much harder way, and five, six times probably, I don't know, this is just from my imagination looking at the map, five, six times longer than the straight one following the Philistine road, yet God takes them the right way. I'll take care of them the hard way. But the easy way is not always the preferred way, is not always the recommended way, because hardship too early in the beginning of a task may lead to discouragement. And God knows how we are. So this is not so much something pointing to people that because of the weakness of the people, God had to do this, but pointing to God, what kind of God He is. He knows how we are. And God tailors the road. He tailors the journey for us. Every step of the way. Sometimes we think that we choose our career, that we choose when we want to do something, the way of doing it. We don't realize at all that it is all the time God who, for His children, He is actually choosing the way for them. If it's hard, it's okay, because we will see why. He doesn't leave them alone. Lest perhaps the people change their minds. He knows their frame. He knows that they are dust. And when the Bible says that we are dust, that means that we are weak, that we are fallen, that we are corrupt. So God, verse 18, led the people around by the way of wilderness, on the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. So here is only one detail. He's telling us which way God actually chooses for them. But also the detail is that there was order. So from the very beginning, when God brings the people to Himself, and when He leads them out of the life of bondage, He brings them into the life of order. That's giving strength to Paul when he's writing to the Corinthians, and he says, for our God is a God of order. Let it be order like in all the churches of the saints. This is what God wants. And we see here that they went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. It wasn't a stampede. They were not actually all rushing before Pharaoh changes his mind. For eventually, Pharaoh will change his mind, but we know what happened then. When he changed his mind, he paid a lot. He changed his mind many times. But this time he will change his mind for the last time. Yet, the Lord is proving the people that they have to be calm and keep going, trusting in the Lord, for it is His mighty hand. What I said in the introduction about verse 16, it is with His mighty hand that He brings them out, so they don't have to stampede, to go out rushing and stepping on each other. They went orderly out, like a number of calm people. And this is the way the children of God should be even now. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. He took the bones of Joseph with him. What's this telling us? First, he showed the respect to Joseph. But it's more than that. It is more than that. It is the fact that God has promised the land to them, And Moses is one of the patriarchs. And all of the patriarchs, beginning with Abraham, should be buried in the promised land. They all make it. Well, let me say whether dead or alive. All the faithful patriarchs made it. And that's one aspect. The other aspect is, this is what they quoted Joseph. They didn't take that just as a passing a statement of a faithful man 400 and something years earlier. Joseph, probably he was not really a great prophet. All he did was, a man chosen by God to be high in politics and administration in Egypt. And of course God used him. I would put him among the patriarchs. Because he was the one by whom God prepared the cradle in which the people of Israel was formed as a people. And they took that prophetic word seriously. God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So Joseph knew that the people wouldn't be there forever, that there is a promise, and he looked forward to that promise. And he didn't want to be left behind. I don't want to go into other aspects and metaphorize too much this text. But they trusted into that. And when we read in Hebrews 11, we find out that the patriarchs who had the promises, they looked at those promises as if they had reached them already. That's how they trusted. And we see here that Moses respected that. And that's good for the people. So Moses was serving God with all his mind, even in this case. So they took the journey, they took their journey from Sukkot and encamped at Etham at the edge of the wilderness. So they began and went for a while, and then at the edge, when they reached the wilderness, when they were far enough from the city life, from the places, populated places, they set up camp to have a rest. And again, this is talking about patience. And it's about the patience of Moses. Moses was the leader. And like we said, they had not left Egypt in a stampede, but as an orderly group of people. And now they go as an orderly group of people. They do not keep on going until they drop. Just be calm, for the Lord will help you. It is the Lord who brought us out. It is the Lord who will take us in the other land. So that's the wonderful thing. And it's teaching us patience in our Christian service, in our lives, that there is a time for everything. And that we have to do the things patiently and waiting on the Lord. For they who wait upon the Lord, they shall preserve their energy. They are not going to waste their energy on the things that the Lord will do for them anyway. And more than that, they will be revigorated. And they will be made to feel young again. Although they are old, because God is going to give them strength. And the Lord, and this is probably the highest point of the text. The Lord went before them. So God did not send them on their own. The God did not tell Moses, "Moses, you know the way." And actually, they went through Midian. They went exactly through the way that Abraham went when he ran away from Pharaoh. You know the way, Moses. You've done it once on your own. Now you have to go that way. No. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. So God was not only their strength, He was also their guide. So when God is calling us out of the world, when God is calling us to Himself, to be His people, to be a separated people, although He takes us through what seems to be a wilderness, it is not so really for us, because He is present with us. And He is giving guidance and protection by day. I'm thinking about that pillar of fire. And often when I see on television, I see a small cyclone, not the big hurricanes, but a small cyclone that sometimes forms like a big pillar of dust during the day. Sometimes I think, and when I was a kid and we were in the fields and I saw that happening, I always thought about the pillar of cloud by day. So God, by that pillar, He put a sign, a mark in front of them that He will always be leading them and protecting them by day, and then a pillar of fire by night to give them light. It doesn't say here, but we can speculate that the pillar of cloud by day was probably, given the size, it was probably giving them the shade, the protection they needed from the sunlight during the day, and He would be the one. This has, it sounds to me like the book of Revelation, that in this eternal city of God, there will be no need for the sun, for the Lamb will be the light thereof. It is God who is the light. There was light before the sun was made, and before any star was created, there was light. And we are not allowed to speculate as to physically where that light came from. God was the light. And we know that light is nothing else, just magnetic particles. That's what light is. And it can be produced in many ways, not just by burning things. But we see that our God, who is a fire, He is a consuming fire. He is a fire that can also give light. And if you want, He can give even warmth to the people during the very cold nights in the wilderness. He gave them resources too. It doesn't mean that they had to walk in such a way that they would have to walk for 4 years day and night, for 40 years. They were supposed to make that journey from Egypt, from where they were there in the Nile Delta, to go in 40 days to the Promised Land. That long way. God wanted to do that, and He provided the resources. And He puts Himself with them in that situation. Through hardship, through everything, giving them guidance and protection by day and by night. And they would have had to be able to do that. But I do imagine that they had to rest, and I say that based on verse 20, where we saw that when they had gone for a while, they reached the edge of the wilderness, they encamped and they rested. And based on that, we can say that they would have regularly time to rest from the journey. And there are many other things that we can look at throughout the book. I don't want to go into too many details. But here the verse 22, which is the last here. If you think that was exciting in verse 21, it is more exciting. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He never did that. And this is why throughout the ages, the people of God believed in His promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when the Lord Jesus Christ sends His disciples, commissions them, and through them, all of us, to go into the whole world and preach the gospel, God sends us into a wilderness. Look, I send you as sheep among the wolves. to the wilderness. The wolves belong to the wilderness. But Jesus says what? And I will be with you for a while until you gain some experience. No, until the end of time. I can't escape it. Whenever I think of this verse, I think of William Carey. When they tried to tell him that that verse was for the apostles. And he tells them words to this effect. As far as we are concerned, the apostles have long died. Yet the command still stands that Jesus will be with all his people he sends till the end of time. Not till the end of the life of the apostles. So this is divagation. But I can't help it. Because that's how that man of God was led by God. He was led to believe that the command was for him too. And the command is for us too. And with the command, the promises are also to all those whom God leads out of the bondage into the wilderness way. He will turn the wilderness in a livable place, in a good place. So I pray before the Lord that he will apply this to ourselves. I didn't want to do anything heavy and go in depth in every detail, because we will again meet with some of the teachings of these verses in the future. But that we will use this, that we will apply it to our own lives. Because it is good to know. If we could sum it up, it will be a little bit like this. God will never choose always the easy way. But he will choose and design for us the way which is best for us. The way that will take us to the purpose for which he created us and for which he called us out. And that God remembers our weaknesses, and he is giving us strength. He provides it for us, but he is also protecting us from temptations. So I am not tempted to go back. And he is leading us. Whenever he takes us, he will always be with us, providing guidance and shelter for all his children. And you will never take a rest. This is why the psalmist had the courage to say, or the encouragement to say, that the God of Israel never sleeps nor slumbers. He is always there. He never takes away his pillar, the pillar of his presence, the pillar of cloud by day, in the pillar of fire by night. So we always have protection and light, and we'll always be able to see the way. And the Lord help us to this.